But let me ask you this. Have you ever done anything irrational that God led you to do? Just think about that. I see some responses back there. So, on your own, I don't advise you to make an irrational decision. Because it usually don't turn out good. And y'all can probably all testify to that, right? So we're going to talk about Elijah a little bit here. And the widow. Got two different people that ended up, that God put together. And irrational, all the circumstances around it was irrational. But the number one thing that it took for both of them, and one's a Christian and one's not, if you want the widow, but she's seen enough to know that there is something into, there is something about Elijah's God that has brought her along. So we're going to talk about the faith, is what I'm getting at. It all took faith. That's what it takes for us. Because I guarantee you, when God calls you to do something, it's at least going to be out of your comfort zone, or it's not going to make any sense to you. None. But, so here's the test of your faith. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Are we going to do it? The requirements of faith may seem illogical. And we discussed that. We can get into it a little bit. The path seemed illogical. And when I say the path seemed illogical, let me just read. I guess I better read scripture first, huh? So you know what we're talking about. All right, chapter 17, verses 8 through 9. I'm going to start with 7. Elijah and the widow. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. Go to once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Let me give you a little background. Elijah just got done on the mountain with fire coming down, burning up the Baals, all the false gods, worship, and we can get into that. And then now he's told to go to the city, which is, I get together in a minute, I lost my train of thought, Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. Y'all heard of Jezebel? So Jezebel, so he's already thinking, what? Why am I going to go to the woman that's trying to kill me, or her people are trying to kill her? But God specifically told him to go. And then in between this, he already stepped out on faith with God because it was a drought, and they got him at a brook and had birds actually were taking care of ravens. You read. I just give you the background because we ain't got time to read all of it. So the ravens are feeding him day and night, providing him water. So God is providing for him, right? An illogical way. It don't make sense to us, right? But this is what happened. So now the brook is completely dried up. There's no more water. And God just tells him, all right, get up and take you. It's a 100-mile trip, by the way. Take your trip to the city I'm telling you to go to. And he, you know, he's probably thinking, you done put me through all this, and now you want to go to the city where Jezebel lives. And so what's going on? But you know what? This is what I like. If you look at verse 10, so he went. So faith, he went. He showed up. He went to, he did what God told him to do, and he went. It says 100-mile trip. Then the, you know, and then the word came to him, and he went at once. So he went to. So the path, he don't know why yet. He don't know why yet. He's going there. He knows he's going to meet a widow, and let me explain something about a widow. At this day and time, back then, they have nothing to provide for you. It's humanly speaking, what they're thinking. What we don't know, the big story, is God has already talked to her on the other end and said, here comes a man that's going to come to you. So they both got directions. Neither one of them know that God talked to either one of them. And the reason I want to bring that up, when you cross paths with somebody, when you do what God wants you to do and cross paths, and stuff, the person he sends you to may have already got word from God saying, I'm sending somebody to you. So when we drop the ball and don't do our part, we could possibly, potentially, it's a mess up the intervention on the other guy's part. God's still to take care of it.
Amen.
With or without you.
Right.
But don't lose your chance to witness.
Amen.
Do not lose that opportunity. And that's like Elijah, he went immediately. And that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And Sunday night, I went through a laundry list of what are you willing to give up to follow Jesus. You know, it's a bare minimum convenience. Oh, I'll do it later. I'm too busy. But that might be the opportunity at that moment that God wants you to intervene in that person's life. And you might never get the outcome of how you touched that person or how God touched the person through you, put it that way. And so just like Elijah in obedience and faith, we need to act the same way. And so if he tells you to go 100 miles to a city you don't want to go to, are you ready to go? Or are you going to do it? And as we talked before, prepare yourself. And so for those encounters and those instructions, because you sit around and wait, and then God tells you to do something, you're probably not going to do it. So you need to stay in His Word. You need to stay scriptured up, I call it, and get ready for those times when God calls you, because you don't know whose life it may affect,
amen,
including yours.
Amen.
So the place, the path He took seemed illogical. Why am I doing that? But He did it. Then the place seemed, the place He went was illogical. That was the hometown of Queen Jezebel. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins we're talking about. Now, the king, back up. Ahab's the king at this point. And not only was he doing bad things in the sight of God, but he married a woman, Jezebel, that's from not in what God specifically told him or told them not to marry outside of their home. And so now we already got a problem. And Ahab was a bad king. We do the history on him. He did some bad stuff. And so this is where he's going. This is where Elijah is going. Right in the middle of false gods, sacrificing their children. They're eating their children. They're doing the real bad things, horrible things. And he put in Elijah right in the middle of it.
Amen.
But you notice so far, he ain't wavered. He's going. Don't know what the outcome's going to be. And then the person that he sent him to, of all people, is a widow. He said, go at once in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed, so he tells him, I directed a widow there to supply you with food. And we're going to get into it. And he already knows just because of the culture. It'd be like us getting sent to somebody that we know if they can really provide for us or not. He knows this widow, on a human standpoint, cannot provide for him. So God's telling him to go in a harsh country to a woman that can't take care of my needs. So Elijah don't have any idea what's working out here. But he's doing it.
That's right.
He's doing it. And that's the whole point I'm trying to get across is we need to do it.
Amen.
And do what God tells us and have that faith to go on. Verse 10 tells us, 1 Kings 17:10 tells us that he went, when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? We can find out this is it for her. She has a son. She's getting sticks that she's going to boil down and eat. She has nothing left. She's at her end. So notice the faith on her too. Sorry, I lost my spot again. Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. So now he's added to it. As surely as the Lord your God, have you noticed how she addressed him? Your God. So that tells you that's not her God at this moment, but she realizes something going on here. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour and a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." And so she already knows the outcome. I'm going to die. He's going to die. But it's her last effort resort But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of olive oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." And I'm trying to get to verse 15. What did she do? She went. She was talking to Elijah. She told him, I don't have anything to give you. Elijah says, "The Lord my God is going to give to you." And she says, "Surely as your God." Now, you got a transition going on here. She realizing, wait a minute, this is a man of God, the God, the only God. But in her mind, she's starting to get this change. And out of obedience, out of faith, she says, "Okay, I'm going." And she did. And that's so you got, so God's working both ends on both people. The response of faith must be immediate. You got to respond immediately. And the best way I can put it, if he tells me to go do something and I drop the ball, I don't do it, okay? I don't have time or whatever excuse I can come up with. And so that's going to affect you, one thing. You're disobedient to God and stuff. And it may delay helping somebody else. But God is still in control. If you drop the ball, he has not. He's still in the playing field. He's going to use someone else or get that job done that you're supposed to do. And then, just like Brother Lowe says, you wish you wouldn't have. And stuff. And how many times I had several people over the years, and myself included, and stuff. Man, I had an opportunity to witness. I had an opportunity to do this, and I didn't do it. And then you don't sleep for 2 or 3 days. Or you should. The Holy Spirit should be working on you and stuff. But I told a person one time, he said, "Man, he said, I feel so guilty. I didn't do it," whatever. You had a good spot when you feel that way because you're still connected with God. The Holy Spirit. You still got the Holy Spirit. And when you get numb to that and it doesn't bother you, you might need to recheck things. Your engine light's on. Need to go get it fixed. Need to figure something out. So we got to keep on keeping on and keep moving forward. So we got two people that obeyed, that did what they were supposed to do, and then you got faith working overtime here on both ends of it. Then the result, here's the result of it. We learn to possess our possessions. So she took what little bread she had. She took what little olive oil, which wasn't enough for her and her son. That's why she's gathering sticks. But her faith led her to go back home, and then it just kept producing. It's just like Elijah told her, God promised, I'll take care of you. It's going to happen. Verse 12 says, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread." And I read that already, I know. "Only a handful of flour in a jar. We may eat it, then die." And then Elijah told her what to do. "That the flour will not be used up, the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends the rain." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. So God provided for them. And I always like to use a New Testament reference. Matthew 6:33 says, and most of y'all know that by heart, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Just like Elijah, just like the widow, they put their faith in God. "Okay, Lord, don't make sense to me, but we're going to do it." And they did it. And then it said, Scripture says she had enough food and olive oil to cook daily for them. Notice that word daily. It said that not that they didn't store none.
Right.
It produced daily for them what they needed.
Amen.
Okay? So the faith is just because of their faith they had. She went away as did Elijah told her. There was food every day. For the jar was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord spoken to Elijah. And if you go down to verse 15 through 16, I believe, we just read, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. Right, back up, verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah said. So there was food for her every day for Elijah and a woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And so this went on. You read further in Scripture. If you read on, it's in there. This lasted for 2 years. They're 1 year into a 3-year drought. And this lasted for 2 years that this jar kept producing of olive oil and the bread and took care of them. God works at both ends of the process. We're talking about he worked with both of them. God works to bless us and those who are touched by us. And plus, also, we get, if you look at Psalms 68:5, it talks about taking care of widows. So Elijah was told to do something, go to a widow that couldn't help him, but he ended up saving her and her son's life. Or God used him to save her life. And then Psalms always tells it's about widows, taking care of widows. So they got all the work done he needed. God works to bless us by the quality, not the quantity. The widow gave all she had. She gave every bit of it. That's all she had. It wasn't enough, but she gave all she had. And that's what God blessed it and took it. And God works to bless us one day at a time. Jennifer, that's my favorite song, by the way. Okay. If God would have, so look at it this way. If God would have filled up the barrel, she would trust in it and not God. So let God provide what you need and be thankful on a daily basis of what you got to get through. And I know it's hard to do. We plan and we already got things planned out to next year, most of us. But we need to focus on God and one day at a time. And had the faith that God's going to take care of us and rely on him and not the product in this case. And just like the water for Elijah, if God gave Elijah all the water he needed, he wouldn't trust in God. So, and just think about when you go through, me, you, when we go through trials, we go through some bad things, and so that's when we... typically, we lean more to God, and which is okay, but we need to stay with God all the time. We always need to be there with him, but when we really need him is when we lean on him, and that's why, in this case, that's how he handled them, was just give them just enough to get by day for day, and just like the Israelites when they come out of Egypt and stuff, they had enough just to get for that day, the manna, to feed them. So God will take care of you, but it can take a little faith involved in it. And besides, Matthew 6:11 tells us about our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. So if you wait until you have the answers, just like Elijah, he didn't have all the answers. The widow didn't either. They were just told to do it, and they did it. So if you wait to have all the answers, you would never be a Christian if you're not a Christian. I don't know how many people say, well, I need to clean this up. I need to do this. I need to do that. That, this and that will never get there. You will never get there. You ain't going to have all the answers. And I got news for you. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You still ain't got all the answers. And you're not going to get all the answers and stuff until you stay in His Word. And then one day when we go home, we'll have all the answers. But now we got to have the faith. We got to stay in there. So don't wait till you have the answers to become a Christian. And when you are a Christian, if you wait till you have the answers, you will never answer God's call. So if God calls you to do something, don't let, I need to get this done first, this, that, line everything up. And that's our nature, right? We want to make sure it's going to work out financially. You know, a lot of people we thinking, I do it when I start making more money or whatever the reason may be. Do not wait. Answer God's call and just do it. And which is hard to do sometimes, but just do it. Answer God's call. Because you never know, like I said, you never know who you're going to touch, who you're going to reach. Don't miss that opportunity. Just like the videos we watch, there's a ton of people lost here, just like over there. And I made the comment, he did too, that here's just a church on every corner. Neither one of them is full. Neither one of them is full. So, and over there, there's no church on the corner. And they need God just as much as people here do.
Amen.
So we need to, you do what God calls you to do. That's go to Kathmandu. Go to Kathmandu. If it's to go to Oakhurst, Texas, let's go to Oakhurst, Texas. Just go outside these, but you can't do it in here.
Amen.
You need to go out there.
Amen.
So we got to answer the call and have the faith that God's going to daily take care of your needs. And don't wait for all the answers. Just do it as you go along. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity to hear your word, Lord. Just be with the ones that need your prayer. Just be with us, each and every one of us, to give us the courage that we need, the strength that we need to answer your call, Lord. Just guide us and direct us. And just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.